21 minutes after 8 o'clock, the Business Day is reporting that Banking Association of South Africa, BASA, has urged President Cyril Ramaphosa to prioritize the country's wider interests rather than securing votes for the African National Congress if he is to boost confidence in the economy before the elections in May. Ramaphosa's plan to split Eskom into three separate parts has been met with resistance from Union Federation COSATU, as well as other labor movements involved in the action, which has been in an alliance with the ANC and the SACP since long before 1994. The president's administration has replaced boards and top executives at state-owned enterprises, including Eskom. However, BASA feels it hasn't embraced the job cuts that needs to bring down costs for privatization or for the privatization of state assets. Now, the MD at Business Unity South Africa, Mr. Cass Kuvadia, is quoted as saying, "Unless there is some serious restructuring of these organizations, it would be quite irresponsible for banks to lend." He says that it's not that the banks don't want to lend, it's that the banks have to have certain criteria. And if this criteria is not met, it will be difficult to lend to an ailing SOE structure such as Eskom, the SABC and SAA. Well, Mr. Kuvadia now joins me on the line. Mr. Kuvadia, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Karima. Thanks for having me.
Now, of course, your article can be seen as extremely provocative in an economy that has double-digit unemployment rates, double youth unemployment to that of general unemployment, and an assurance by the president, as well as the Minister of Public Enterprises, that the scale of the job cuts at these state-owned companies won't be as large as unions anticipate. Are they leading South Africa up the garden path, or do they need to bite the bullet and tell the union straight off that these structures are bloated and that we actually need to get rid of thousands of people?
Well, I think the issue we're raising is that if you're talking about restructuring of these institutions, and if you're talking about making them more efficient and more productive and actually meeting the economic growth mandates that they should actually be meeting, then one shouldn't preempt at this point in time what the restructuring would or would not entail. I think that absolutely was double-digit unemployment in our country. The last thing we want to do is to create more unemployment. But at the same time, we have to appreciate that a number of these state-owned enterprises find themselves in a position through a whole range of reasons where just plowing money into them and maintaining the operating structures is not going to solve any problem.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you say in your piece today, Mr. Kuvadia, that it's crazy in this day and age that we can still say privatization, but some sort of private equity state has got to be there. It brings in money, it reduces the state's burden, it brings in more accountability and expertise. Now, I want to challenge you a little bit on that, Mr. Kuvadia. If you look at the companies that enabled state capture, if you look at KPMG, if you look at McKinsey, if you look at SAP, if you look at Bain, these are private institutions. They were hired for their services, Bain in particular, to restructure SARS. Instead of making SARS efficient, what they did was make SARS ready for capture. In fact, they made it highly inefficient. We're sitting with a 57 billion rand deficit. So how does it square that if you privatize these institutions, that you automatically make them more efficient, you make them cost effective, and you make them more productive, when we've actually seen practical examples from advisory services on how the exact opposite is actually achieved?
Yeah, Karima, the conduct of people like Bain and some people in KPMG and Steinhoff and so on.
Some people, Mr. Kuvadia?
Well, I'm saying some people in KPMG. I mean, KPMG say that it's a those partners who left them that were responsible for it, whatever the case may be. The conduct, let's put it this way, the conduct of Bain, KPMG, Steinhoff, and others in the private sector must be condemned in the strongest terms, and the law must take its course, and people who have broken the law must actually pay for it. Having said that, I think that the point we're trying to make is that that does not negate the fact that by and large, there's capacity in the private sector and there is good capacity in the public sector.
Yeah.
And what we should be doing as a country is optimizing the capacity we have, be it in the public or private sector, and not allow ideological issues to actually get in the way of utilizing the optimally the capacity we have as a country to actually do the right thing.
Mr. Kuvadia, I agree with you. I mean, I interviewed Minister of Public Enterprises on Sunday on the fix on ENCA, and he said that what we need is a national effort because this is in our national interest. And he was speaking specifically about Eskom because in a way, Eskom has become the poster child for whether or not we can actually turn these ailing SOEs around, given the extent to which it was raided and neglected, you know, in a whole range of ways. And he's saying that we should put all suggestions on the table, and people who disagree with, let's say, the unbundling of a structure like Eskom should put alternatives on, should cost it, and should engage in a constructive conversation to get us to a solution. But here's the thing.
Absolutely.
There is absolutely no trust between the partners. I mean, if you look at what NUM said over the weekend, that it is in fact angry, it feels betrayed by the African National Congress, and it's not sure whether it's going to vote for the ANC. But we know, of course, NUM said very little when the Guptas were busy literally stripping mines and assets from the country and supplying substandard coal. In fact, some of them were actually party to it. The same can be said from Bosasa. So we can spread the blame across. But what is the trust that is going to have to be built in an extremely short period of time to get people to rally around the national interest? As we speak, President Ramaphosa is meant to be having a meeting with the COSATU leadership, and he said he's going to have a very big heart-to-heart with them. I mean, he's one of the founding members of the National Union of Mine Workers. He knows precisely the issues that they are in. His brother-in-law had to call a press conference today to assure the nation that he's not going to benefit from it, because we've got all kinds of conspiracy theories, you know, loading the environment. How do you build trust where essentially fake news and alternative truths has been put into the narrative, and people really don't believe what the facts are anymore?
Yeah, well, look, you know, everything you're saying is a symptom of everything that's happened in our country in the last, at least in the last 10 years or so, right? That's where we are now. We can't turn back the clock and change that. So the trust has broken down. And in these sorts of circumstances, what we need is a leader we can rally around. And I think the president is that leader. I think that the president, in his own persona, instills confidence in people. I think the Sona, for instance, I think we're a very good confidence-boosting sona under the circumstances that we are in. And I think that we need somebody around whom we can rally, irrespective of our political or ideological stances. Because political and ideological stances can take us so far and no further. We're in a situation in our country where, you know, we at the sort of precipice in a whole range of ways. And let's not kid ourselves. We are in a crisis situation. And I think that the president can actually have the ability, because we know the president's history and we know the sort of person he is. I think he has the ability to encourage us all to rise above all of that fray and say, look, what do we now do in the national interest? And there's going to be trade-offs across the board.
Let's come to the trade-offs.
Labor that's going to have to make some trade-offs. Business is going to have to make some trade-offs. Banks are currently doing that.
Okay, so let's get to the examples.
Even under the circumstances, they ran into SOEs.
Yeah, let's come to the trade-offs, right? We know the trade-offs that the trade unions have to make. We're talking about actual job losses, the scale of which people are not prepared to commit to yet, but that is on the table. What are the trade-offs that business has to make? And let's talk about your sector, the banks. You're saying the banks are already making trade-offs. Are you saying that the banks are lending recklessly?
No, they're not lending recklessly. What they're doing is they're saying that it is not in the national interest to, at this point in the problems we have, to allow any of these institutions to fail in an irresponsible manner.
Now,
so we've at least got to stabilize the situation so that we can have the right debates and we can take the right decisions without being forced into a situation where one of these go to the wall, and that has a significant economic and social impact.
Absolutely. Now, what is the one thing that we have to do to take us away from the precipice? The first thing, of course, is to take the dye out of the water. I don't know if that is possible because we have a very sullied, very loaded political environment. People's bona fides are simply not accepted. We have conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory doing the rounds. How do we deal with that and build confidence at the same time, given the fact that the clock is ticking?
Well, look, I think firstly, and let me just speak from the point of view of business, I think that what business needs to do is rally around the Cyril Ramaphosa, president of this country. Okay, and sit down and put on the table, volunteer whatever capacity we can volunteer, bring to the table resources that we can bring to the table, and actually say that, look, we're going to have to go the extra mile to try and stabilize a very unstable situation, but on the basis, and this is where government comes in, on the basis that some hard decisions need to be taken, mm-hmm. and government, business, labor need to sit down around a table and have those sorts of hard discussions. And we need to demonstrate to each other that this isn't, you know, even if we all come to the party in a big way, mm. it's going to be an extremely difficult job.
It's going to be a long haul, absolutely. Everybody...
It's going to be a long haul. But if we don't come to the table mm. together, then I mean the repercussions are too horrendous to contemplate.
Absolutely. But now here's the issue. If one accepts that politics are about sets of interests, there are political parties, there are even factions within the African National Congress in whose interest it is to not rally around the president, to further the divisions, to further the conspiracy theories, to further the loadedness of that political environment. How do we go about enabling the president? Because I believe correctly what you say, that the ANC must think and the president must think about the South African people instead of his organization. But we have party politics as a system of governance. So the party can't be irrelevant. We always have to keep that coterie of reformers in the ANC on side, because without them, it becomes all the more difficult to actually initiate a progressive change. But how do you do that when the margin for the president is so narrow? For example, we have a situation today where court papers were actually lodged to appeal the reinstatement of Supramao Mapelo, but later on the ANC's National Executive Committee took a decision that they will rather send a task team and not go the court route. So they are also constantly measuring up those balance of forces. How do we do that? I mean, do we need a no-holds-barred discussion, talks about talks, if you like, for getting this kind of social compact that is so necessary on the table?
I think we do need a no holds barred discussion, but I think that the other thing we need, and this is my own view, is that we need to a broad spectrum of society, not just business, mm. but the broad spectrum of society that I believe does have confidence in the president needs to publicly come out and say so.
Mm.
I think we need to demonstrate that we have confidence in the president as president of this country, and that we will support him in the hard decisions he needs to take. I think that the country as a whole needs to see in very real terms publicly that Cyril Ramaphosa, as president of this country, has broad cross-societal support. And we need to show that publicly. And I think that, in my view, then gives him some ground to actually say, look, I can actually put the country first here. I'm not saying to the total exclusion of political party students. Of course, he needs his political party, and he needs to also work on his political party. But I think that across party political lines and across ideological lines, I think sectors of society need to come out and say, look, we're in a situation where, as South Africans, there are things that need to be done. We have confidence in this president to do this.
Now, this is going to be a long haul, right? Many people want to see people going to jail, but they don't understand that the president, for example, cannot interfere with the legal process. We can't go back to where we were with the allegations around President Mbeki that had a political conspiracy against President Jacob Zuma. We simply cannot go back there. Yeah. And Shamila Batoy has literally been in her job, for less than 2 weeks. But the law enforcement agencies, certainly as a sector, must come to the party. We haven't seen a single arrest. I mean, surely if President Ramaphosa wants confidence in himself, and if people want to demonstrate that confidence, something has to give. Somebody has to be charged.
I agree. And those are the sorts of steps forward we need. Those are the sort of the messaging that we need, that we are, it's not just commissions for the sake of commissions, legal authorities following up on what's coming out of this commission, investigating those and putting good, clear cases forward to be actually adjudicated on in course of law. And so I agree with you. But you know, the thing is that we need to stop talking about this behind closed doors. I think we all need to now publicly say that, look, we can do it. We can. It's a long haul, but if we have somebody to rally around, and we demonstrate to that person that we have confidence in him, I think we're giving him some tools with which to actually take some of the, and it's extremely difficult for him. Let's not underestimate that.
Mr. Guvadi, I'm going to put you on the spot with an absolute last question. Most people who approach me in the street say, Karima, do you actually think anyone is going to go to jail? And I always say, yes, they are going to go to jail, because I believe that. Do you believe that?
I believe they must go to jail.
But are they? Will they?
And I have sufficient confidence. Look, Karima, I've got to have confidence that people will go to jail.
There we go. That is what is expected.
Otherwise, you know, I can't sleep anywhere near easy.
Absolutely. And I think that is the one thing that we need to restore in the South African public. We need to believe that people are going to go to jail, because we need to believe that our institutions are actually going to be restored, and their credibility, most importantly, is going to be restored.
Absolutely.
But for that, we, of course, need leadership, and we need leadership across the board. Mr. Cass Guvadia, thank you very much. The Managing Director at the Banking Association of South Africa.